you're not going to want to miss this episode of the AI show, where literally it seems like you have a data scientist in a box as a service. It's amazing. Make sure you tune in. Hello and welcome to this episode of the AI show. This is funny because we did like a whole thing, Kiana and I forgot to hit record. Totally on me. Today we're going to talk about automated machine learning, a topic we've seen before, but we're going to revisit again. Kiana, why don't you tell us who you are and what you do?
Hi, Seth. So my name is Kiana, and I am a PM in the Azure Machine Learning team, specifically working on the Automated Machine Learning Studio, trying to make the user experience as pleasant as possible.
So tell us a little bit about what automated machine learning is.
Yeah, so automated machine learning has been around for a while, and its sole purpose is to democratize the way that machine learning is being able to be used by different people. So we want to make sure that people who do not have access or experience with coding also are able to use machine learning to promote their businesses. So one of the best things about AutoML is that you get to do everything from running, training, to deployment, all with a no-code experience.
That's awesome. So who is this targeted to, and why would they choose to use something like this?
So our first target would be citizen data scientists or any developers that want to use low-code or no-code experience to build models and deploy them. And why would they use it? Because automated machine learning does everything for you. It goes through a bunch of combinations of hyperparameters and algorithms, and it keeps searching until it finds the best model depending on the metric that you define yourself.
So I'd love to see how this works. Do you have something you can show us?
I definitely do. Let's go through a demo. So what you see here is the Azure Machine Learning Studio. On the side panel, you can see one of our authoring experiences is the automated ML. Here, you can easily start an automated ML run. But before we do that, I wanted to talk to you about the problem that we're going to be solving with automated ML today. So this problem is called the bank marketing problem. I have the data set right here. So what we're going to do in this data set, we have a bunch of data related to marketing campaign of a Portuguese bank institution. So what they did was they made several phone calls to each customer and asked them if they wanted the fixed term deposit. So what we are going to do is we're going to use this data, make models, and use that model to predict if other customers are going to subscribe to a fixed bank deposit as well or not. So what we do is to start this experiment, we go through and click the new automated ML run. Here, we would have the option to either choose from existing registered data sets, or if you don't want to do that, you can easily create a data set right here from your local files. You here have the option to put the data set name. I want to call this Bank Info 1. That's going to be the name. The dataset type is tabular, and if you want any description, you can put it here. So you can say bank calling info. After that, you have the option to choose where do you want your data store to be. So usually, as the default, we have the Azure Blob Storage, which is what we're going to use here. Now is the time to click browse and actually get the CSV file that we have for the dataset. Then we click next, and this CSV file is getting uploaded as an Azure registered dataset. Now, I don't want you to wait all this time, so I already did this for you guys. And here we are. After this is all gone through, we can see what the dataset actually looks like. You can see the first 50 rows here and different columns and what the column headers are. So for example, we have age, we have the job, marital status, and different information about the customers. Then we click next, and here we have the we can visit the schema. So the schema is exactly each feature that exists in our data set. Here we can choose if we want any of these to actually be included or not. So let me make sure that we have the headers right. So because all of my files here have the same headers, I want to make sure that the headers are recognized by my data set. Okay, now because I have the headers, we can see everything. So for example, here, the day of the week that we made the call has nothing to do with the customer wanting to subscribe to a fixed term deposit or not. So I can ask to for that not to be included because it's unrelated data. And then we confirm all the details. And as easy as that, we have a registered data set that is right here for us. So I choose that data set. The good thing is you also have the option to view it again if you want. You can just click on it and you can preview the whole data set right here. Then we click next, and now it's time for us to configure our run. So you can either use a select an existing experiment or create a new one. Sometimes when you're doing the same experiment with different models over and over again, it would be useful to use that experiment again. For example, I've used this data set and I have an experiment called Bank Experiment 1, but I can easily create a new one. I'm going to call it Bank Experiment 2. Now the target column is going to be the column that I am trying to predict. Here, it's going to be the Y column. The Y column includes either a Y or an N, meaning yes, the customer is going to subscribe to a fixed term deposit, or no, the customer is not going to do that. So that's my target column. And then we go to the next step, which is going to be the task type. Oh, I forgot to do the compute cluster.
Oh, yeah, we need a computer, right?
Yeah, definitely. Without that, how are we going to think? So we have to use one of these compute clusters, or if you don't have one, you can easily, again, make one right here. The side panel is going to help you easily to choose your nodes, the minimum and maximum, and what kind of CPU or GPU you would want for your experiment. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to choose what I have already. And then we go to the last part, which is additional task types and configurations. Because the task type that I have here, the problem, is a classification problem, that's the one I am going to use. Now, automated machine learning has the benefit that you can have additional configuration settings here. You get to choose what metric you want your model to be based upon. So you can choose accuracy, AUC weighted, and different depending on the task type you have. I am going to use AUC weighted, which is area under the curve. And then if you do have certain algorithms that you want blocked, you have the option to do that from right here. The other really good factor that automated ML has is that you get to choose how many hours it runs for. So I'm going to say after 1 hour, whatever the best model is, I want you to stop there and not go on anymore. This helps you actually save on your computing resources as well. Validation type, you can also check different options depending on either letting it to be auto, so we will choose the best one for you, or choosing one from the dropdown. I'm going to say k-fold cross-validation, and I'm going to ask k to be 2. So there's also concurrency, which would be depending on the number of nodes that you have in your compute, you can go up and down here. I'm going to choose it to be 5 because I actually do have 5 nodes in my compute target. You can also leave this blank. Now that I save that, we go off to the featureization setting. So automated ML also automatically has enabled featureization for you being done in the background. This means it goes and checks every imputation, any missing values, and makes sure that everything in your data is set and ready to go. You can do that manually here as well. For example, if your H column has some missing value, you can impute it with like the mean or with the most frequent or the median. Again, you don't have to do this, but it's good to know that we are checking this for you in the background. Now that we have done all the customizations, we are going for creation. So the automated ML run is now going to be started. And of course, because this is going to take a while, I don't want to bore you guys. So I have one that is already completed. Now let's look at this. After the status of the run turns to completed, we look at the best model summary. You see what algorithm it is, what your metric is, and all the other information that you might want. You have the option to look at all the other metrics here as well, if you are interested in comparing. Now, the very interesting part, remember when we were talking about featurization? The automated machine learning automatically does a featurization for you. So what does that mean? The data that I uploaded actually had some imbalance. That means that one of the classes or several of the classes had so many more rows in them than others. So automated machine learning got the alert and it makes sure that it is detecting the input has imbalanced data and act accordingly. Now off to the good stuff, we have the models tab, which is populated with every single child model or algorithm that automated ML has run for us. All these algorithms are actually here descending on my primary metric. So for me, it was AUC weighted. So the best model is going to be here and everything else is going to be descending from there. My best model was the voting ensemble and I can see what the metric is. I can see how long it took for it to run, etc. Now I also have the option to just open this model and try to learn more about it. One thing that a lot of our customers would like to know is about explanation. Model explanation is very useful and it helps you a lot when you want to talk to your stakeholders. So what does model explanation do? It is a metric that is used to understand what features are directly impacting the model that you are looking at and why. For example, here, we are saying that what are the top 8 features? I can go up to like 5. Say, okay, what are the top 5 features that we have? Well, I can see that the first one is duration. So the duration that the customer was with the bank has the most to do with them subscribing to a fixed term deposit or not. Their level of employment, the employment variation rate, and etc. So I can see this in real time, which ones of the user features are contributing to my model predictions, and if that's a good prediction or not. So right from here, you also have the option to deploy your model easily. You just have to name the deployment and use your compute type. So as you can see, we started with just a data set and we came to deployment all without one single line of code.
Well, that was amazing. Like I didn't want to interrupt because you basically went from the data set, the beginning of the data science process, all the way to the thing is out in production and you didn't even do anything with code. I mean, not that you look, I'm a data scientist type and there's like a week's worth of garbage work where I'm literally doing all this stuff. Like the part that was floored me because I hadn't seen this before was when it detected a feature problem, the imbalance in the feature mm-hmm. problem. What kind of other things can it detect when it comes to the features?
Yeah, that's a really good question because we have recently improved our data guardrails, which are technically the guardrails we put on the data before we send it to training. So the first part of an automated ML run is just preparing the data. So we do make sure that there are no imbalanced classes. And if there are, we will make sure that that does not make biased results. We also check for any imputing values, any missing values. We do check for any bias in the data as to it being overfitted. So yeah, we do have a lot of cool options and we're adding to them every day. You can check out the different data guardrails that we would have on our docs as well.
And then the other thing was at the end, and this is the part where like it's a week's worth of data science work, where you literally explain to me what features are causing the model to predict the most. It was all just genius stuff. And so I know you said this is for a citizen data scientist, but look, for this semi-citizen data scientist, this is going to save me a week a week's worth of work initially. So where can people go to find out more?
Well, you can always check out our docs on docs.microsoft.com, and we do have tutorials that will show you how to start from a very small model and build from there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us, Kiana. And thank you so much for watching. We've been learning all about automated machine learning. To me, it feels like a data scientist in a box. It's great. I love it. Thank you so much for watching, and hopefully we'll see you next time. Take care.